week. I'm going to say it again this week. Whether you're married or not, these messages have impact on all your relationships. It may be a sibling relationship. It may be a parent-child relationship. But these messages have really targeted, and what I've targeted is our marriages. And how do we guide and go through our marriages? And this morning, it kind of goes like this. How do we go from I do to we still do 5 years, 10 years, Friday, 39 years? How do we stay married? How do we go through our marriages? And this morning, I kind of want to talk about, I'm sure none of you have this. I'm going to share about one, a situation in mine. Anybody ever have conflict in relationships? Anybody been married and have conflict? You know, you get married, and most of you, maybe you're not like me. You got one of those Disney marriages. You got married, and it's happily ever after, right? You know? No rough spots, no challenges, no disagreements, no conflict. And like I said, so this might not, maybe you're sitting here and you're going, well, I'm not married, or my marriage, I'm a widower or whatever, widow. It's still important about all our relationships. And so as I go through this, you might need to make some, you know, modification to make it fit where you're at. But I want us to think about our marriages. I don't know about you, but summer's here. All right, it says summer doesn't start till, I think it's the 21st, anybody? I think it's June 21st, summer starts. But it's awful hot out there right now, all right? It was warm yesterday. Anybody go to Relay for Life? Anybody go down to Relay? I see some hands. Go down for Relay. It was warm out there yesterday at Relay for Life. It's hot. You know, as I think about this message this morning, it's not only hot outside. Some of us get some hotness in our homes. Anybody? You know, you kind of get some disturbances in the force at home, you know? And so I kind of want to talk about how do we deal with that? What do we do about conflict? And I really want you to think about that you can have some confidence in the midst of that conflict. And I entitled the message this morning, if you get your little outline out, I'll encourage you to get it out. It says this, fight your way to a better marriage. That we're going to have conflict. When two messy people. Now listen, you got to make sure you understand. I started this series of messages on Mother's Day, and we kind of talked about God gave us our kids, and we had a baby dedication. Then the next week, we looked at how do you have a perfect marriage, right? I want a perfect marriage. And the reality is two messy people cannot make a perfect marriage. And so what we decided is we can't have a perfect, but we can have a godly marriage, a marriage based on God's grace. Then the next week, we talked about love. That we need to understand love, that we have different ways of loving, that some of us want affirmation and some want gifts. And we looked at those five languages of love. And last week I talked about communication. So I want to make sure there's an order to this madness of mine. Because if you're gonna have conflict, you better make sure you got grace. You better make sure you have love. You better make sure you have communication, or your marriage isn't gonna go from I do to we still do. All right? And so there's a method to this is what I'm sharing with you. And I'm going to say something I said last week, and it's going to really come true this week. In the midst of our marriages, we need to understand this. Who's the enemy? In the midst of the conflict in any relationship, but especially in our marriages, we need to understand who is really the enemy in that relationship. You know, and I thank you, it is the devil. Look at what the scripture says. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. The thief, the devil, Satan has come to steal the joy of your marriage, to kill the peace in your marriage, and to destroy your marriage. Is that true? When you're having conflict in your marriage, you need to understand it's not them. It's not him or her. The problem is Satan has stepped in and used something to cause a disturbance in that marriage. And so we need to realize our battle is Satan wants to destroy our marriages. Would everybody agree with that one? That really who's out there to destroy the marriage and our relationships and destroy our relationships? It's Satan. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy those relationships. And so I put it this way. If you look at your outline, you've got a little blank to fill in there. Your spouse is not your enemy. You need to understand that. Your spouse is not your enemy. When you get in conflict, you get mad at not the issue, you get mad at who? You notice I said who? Because you don't get mad at the issue. You get mad at the who of the issue. know? And we need to understand our battle, and that enemy is not our spouse. That's not the enemy. Our enemy is the devil. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy that relationship. You go back to that day when you said, I do, and you go back to that joy and the excitement and the anticipation. And you go back to that experience of that day when you said, I do. And you want that to go on and on and on, and you want to experience it over and over again, and Satan doesn't want that. See, I believe that a godly marriage can experience the same thing you have, that joy of that first day you said, I do. And you can have that every day. But Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy that. And so we have these battles. We have these battles, and we don't allow Satan to do it. Here, listen to what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 12, verse 25. Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, any kingdom where people fight each other will end up ruined. And a town or family that fights will soon destroy itself. If you just keep bickering and nagging and riding and hassling, pretty soon it destroys a relationship. Is that true? It just eats away at the relationship. I tell people all the time, most of the time we can deal with the big dogs in our relationships. You know those things that just kind of chomp on us? It's the chihuahuas, I think, that aggravate us. You know, they just don't let go. They just keep chewing at us. You know? The big dog, we see it's bite, it hurts. We slap the dog away and we go on. But you ever feel like somebody's just chewing on you all the time? They're just riding you all the time? You know? And we need to see that our battle is not that spouse. And I'm going to tell you this morning, and here's what you're going to understand. The battle is really not even the issue. You know, I want to kind of look at really what's going on in the midst of our conflict. Because here's my objective this morning. We're going to have conflict. So is it going to be healthy conflict or unhealthy conflict on our relationships? Because here's two truths I want you to pay attention to. Two things you got to understand. The first one is this. Conflict is inevitable. Conflict is inevitable. You will have conflict in any relationship. See, two people get together, and they're messy people. Remember, we started out with this concept in our series. None of us are perfect. Every one of us have issues, different issues. But then you take two people who are messy. Then on top of that, you have different habits. You have different values. You have different ways of doing things. And you add all that to the mix, and guess what? You are going to have conflict. A marriage is going to have conflict. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. We are going to experience those things. Those things that aggravate us. Those things that push us. Those things that we just don't understand in each other's life. It is inevitable to have that conflict. It's inevitable to experience that conflict. So the only question I want to ask this morning is, in the midst of your conflict and mine, I'm going to share a story that, you know, I'll be married 39 years Friday. 39 years Friday. All right? You can clap now, but let's go back to Monday. Last Monday, after a good Sunday, when the preacher preaches on Sunday, and you go to Monday, and there wasn't peace in my household. All right? There was some discussion. All right? There was some love going on. Yeah? Because conflict is inevitable. I'm going to share the story with you. Lord didn't know I was going to share the story. I'm probably going to get in trouble. So I guess the conflict's not going to wait till Monday this week. It'll probably be Sunday. Let me tell you, anybody? How do you get in your car? Now, I'm going to drive to Oregon. I'm going to go see our grandson graduate. I'm going to get in the car, and 2 hours down the road, I hope not, there's a war. Anybody? Anybody been in that car with me? Maybe not in my car. Maybe you got your own car. You know? How does this happen? It's inevitable. It's going to happen. Conflict is going to happen. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have battles. And I want us to think about this morning. So the only question you got to ask yourself, is that conflict going to be healthy or unhealthy? That's the question. The question isn't, are we going to have struggles? Are we going to have discussions? Heated discussions? You know, the question is it going to be healthy or unhealthy? So that brings me to the next point I had here. If you look at your outline, conflict can bring amazing benefits to marriage. See, I want you to understand, I think marriages are better that have conflict. I didn't read my scripture, did I? Well, let's read the scripture then. When you are angry, do not sin. You know, it says when. It didn't say if. You get it? Circle that word when, would you? When you are angry, you are going to get angry. Somebody is going, and we're going to look at pushing buttons later on. Something's going to happen, and it's going to blow up. All right? When you get angry, do not sin. And be sure to stop being angry before the end of the day. All right? You get one day. It's over. No more. Turn it off. I wish it was that easy, but we'll talk about that. Yeah. But the next thing I put down there is conflict can bring amazing benefits. Conflict can draw you closer together. Conflict can build bridges. Conflict can call and build trust, and it can build respect, and it can build honor. Conflict can build different things into your life. You ever see anybody watch baseball or football? And you know, and the teams go through difficult times together. What do they become? They become stronger, don't they? You know, a team that's went through hard times and difficult times, they've struggled through those battles, and they've overcome those battles. Those teams are stronger because of that. And that's what I want to tell us about our marriages. If we fight in our marriages, healthy fights, in a healthy way, our marriages can become stronger. We're on the same team, remember? My spouse is not my enemy. We're on the same team. We're fighting this together. We have the same objective. We have the same dream. We're working at this together, and it's an amazing thing. I didn't know. I was reading a story this week. There is a place called Crater. I wrote this down. I got to make sure I read it right. Crater Diamond Volcanic Park in Arkansas. It is the only place, I think, in the world where you can go out and hunt for diamonds. Literally. Here's this volcanic park in Arkansas. And you can go out there for a small fee. I'm assuming it's a small fee. And you can hunt for diamonds. And as I was reading the article, it painted this. Here's this desolate place. Rocks, a mess. It's just, they go out there and they grate it up sometimes to stir it up out there. And you can go out there in this desolate place. There's nothing there but volcanic ash and volcanic rock. And you walk out there and you can hunt for diamonds. All right? And they're there. Matter of fact, somebody found a 40-plus carat diamond out there. I'm going, I want to go. Yeah. Well, here's what I want to tell you. In the midst of our conflict, it can be desolate. It can be hurt. It might look rocky. It might look bad. But in the midst of that conflict, there's some 40-carat diamonds out there. There's some positive things that can help and that can grow our marriage, that respect, that trust that can develop out there. And we need to see that in our lives, and we need to see that in the midst of our conflict. So I want to challenge you this morning. You're going to have conflict. If you said, I do, you will have conflict. How many marriages, you don't want to raise your hand, but you sit there and nod your head. Don't look at your spouse, just nod your head, all right? You know, because it's the reality. We have conflict. We're different. There's habits, there's ways of doing things, there's ways of looking at things. We will have conflict. And so I got a picture of this thing called a reactive cycle. And maybe you'll recognize this. You know, it begins like this. That first button. Anybody? That first button. Somebody said something hurtful. Somebody did something that wasn't appreciated. Something happened that wasn't what you thought or what you liked. And it pushed your button and it hurt. And it bothered you. And of course, you're gracious and you're compassionate. You said, I do. And you love them. And you just let it roll off your back, right? No. It's called reaction. And so when somebody pushes your button, what's the natural thing for you to do, at least for me to do? I won't talk about you because I really can't talk. I can talk. You push my button, I guarantee you what? Gary's going to push back. All right? Yeah. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. You aggravate me, I'm going to aggravate you. You're mean to me, I'm going to be mean to you. Right? Come on. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to push your button. And if you're married, you know exactly what button to push. You know? And it didn't take long to learn that button, did it? Yeah. And you know exactly which one it is. It may have nothing to do with that discussion over here that's really causing the issue. But you know I'm hurt, so I'm going to make sure I hurt them. And you push the button. And you just begin this circle. And it just goes around and around and around and around and around and around, and you just keep pushing each other's buttons. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever done that, right? We love and we care and we're so compassionate. See, I'm a Christian. Yeah. And we get this, and we just start this cycle over and over and over again. And it goes on and on. And sometimes it never has an end. And they push our buttons. Look at what it says here, James 4, 1, 2. Here's what it is. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. You quarrel, you push buttons, you pull back. We do these things in the midst of conflict. You know, if they push our button, maybe we don't react in an outward way. Maybe we react in a inward way. We just sulk. Anybody? I'm just not going to talk to them. You know, I'm just going to get up and go to work and never say a word. You know. And we just ignore them, you know. And so we can do it aggressively or we can do it quietly, but we react. But I like what this passage says. It's what's in you. Now, I made a list here, and I didn't put them on the screen, but I made a list here of the 7 top issues in marriage. How many of you have ever had a conversation in your marriage or conflict over money? Don't raise your hand, but just think about it. How about household chores? I'm sure nobody's ever had heated discussions over children. You know, the children are so innocent. They're just little, you know, angels, right? Come on, they're a gift from God. Sex, that can cause lots of disturbances in the force. Work, you know, you work too much, you work not enough, we need money. Leisure time, where are we going to go? We're going to fly to see our grandson, our son and daughter-in-law in Alaska. Are we going to drive? You know, I'm not going to go there. In-laws, maybe you call them outlaws. Yeah. We have these are issues. These are issues. But I want to go back to that verse. Look at that verse again. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires and battle within you? Here's what I want to tell you. These are the symptoms. These are not the issues. These are the problems. This isn't what's causing the issue. See, what causes the issue is what's in us. You know, it's what's going on inside of us. See, what's causing the issue is, do you respect me? Do you really love me? Do you really care for me? You know, it's coming from inside of us. See, what I want you to know is what's pushing your button is not the issue. It's what's inside of you that's the issue. It's the thing that's frustrating you. It's the hurt that's inside. It's those things that's going on. You know, feeling abandoned. Feeling I have no control. See, it's about feelings. See, that's what really pushes our button. It's pushing that feeling button. There's something in us that's going on. There's something in us that's happening to us. You know, inadequate. Here's the story Laura and I had last Monday. We have pictures on our wall. Anybody been to my house? We got pictures on the wall. And it's Laura and I and our grandkids is mostly the pictures. And some of you are in the pictures. Because one wall has pictures of us at Disneyland. And half the wall has pictures of us at Disneyland with our kids and grandkids. And the other half has pictures with some of you. For our church family that's gone to Disneyland with us. On the other walls are Disney World pictures of all. You can kind of see I'm kind of crazy. You know? And I got all these pictures up. And we're painting some walls. We're going to move some stuff around. And the pictures are in my computer. Okay. Thousands. I think I got like 29,000 pictures of us at Disneyland. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. So they're in my computer. And so we're having a discussion about the pictures on the wall. All right. Argue. Conflict. About the pictures on the wall. Now, the conflict wasn't about where the pictures were. It really wasn't even about, well, it was somewhat about what pictures are on the wall. Because they're on the computer. And so who picks them? All right. They're on my computer. It's, you know, I push a button, send them to Costco, go to Costco, pick them up, put in a frame, and throw it on the wall. Well, I don't like that one. I like it. You don't like it? Get another one. Yeah. Yeah, get another picture. She ain't getting on my computer. So I don't know where she's going to get them. So we had to just, but you know, here's the issue. Now, you guys, I know you don't believe this. Okay, please don't believe this. The issue isn't, and after the discussion, it went on for a while, okay? Yeah. It really wasn't over what pictures on the wall. Yeah, that's an issue. The problem is, who controls the pictures? And you guys know, I don't control anything. I'm just an easygoing, you know. You know, the issue was what? Gary's a control freak. Yeah. The issue was, yeah, you can't believe I'm dominating. Do you believe I'm dominating? And somebody's got his hand up back there. Put it down, Stephen. That was a rhetorical question. I didn't expect an answer. Yeah. But see, we get confused. See, the issue was, I was making Laura feel inadequate. Her opinion didn't matter. I'm in control. See, it wasn't about the picture. See, most of the time we get sidetracked about the picture. I'll just take the pictures down, right? I'm done. You do it yourself. Come on, that's how we would. Come on. You know? Do it yourself next time. You know? But instead of stepping back and saying, what's the problem? What's the issue? What is really the point? The point is, Gary, you need to let go. But it's my computer. And so she wants newer pictures, and I like older pictures, and come on, yeah. So we're going to have to get some more frames, and we're going to have to, you know. But is that how it goes? You know, most of the time, see, we get confused of what the problem is. The problem wasn't pictures. Yes, it is the issue. But the problem's inside of me. And that controlling, dominating, forceful Gary. Perfect, Gary. Yeah. And we need to see that. You see, that's what I'm talking about in our marriages. You know? So this is how I put it this way. How do you identify your button? How do you feel about yourself in the middle of this conflict? That's the real question. Here's my challenge. I want you to think back to that last conflict you had. It might, and again, this is about marriage, but it might not be your marriage. Maybe it might be a brother-sister, a sibling relationship. Maybe it might be a parent-child relationship. I don't know. But think back. Go back to what were you feeling? What was happening inside? What was going on? Rejected, unaccepted, criticized? You know, what were you feeling when this was going on? Inadequate? Inferior? You know, what were you feeling? See, that's the issue. See, we get mixed up and we try to solve the problems when we got to go back to what's inside. Isn't that what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle? Why don't you circle that within you back there again? See, it's in us. It's in us. And so I want to challenge you. How do you deal with this? How do you deal, you know, feeling criticized and feeling disrespected and you have all these feelings going on? But you got to identify them. So then you know where the problem is. So then you can really work it out. Because you know what? If I can solve the problem with pictures, I can solve that. If I solve that problem there, that controlling problem there, can it make other things in life go easier? What do you guys think? You know, can I let go of other things besides pictures then? Yeah. And so, see, we get right to the thing. Because a lot of times, you know, we fight over the same thing all the time. It's just a different, it's money this time. You know, or it's kids this time. Or it's where we're going to go on vacation. Yeah. When it really comes back to. And for me, again, you guys know I say it, but what's bad is it's in the marriage. I'm a control freak. And you guys have been with me, those have been with me a long time, you know that. Yeah. But that even affects my marriage. But I like ignoring it. Yeah. So how do we deal with this? How do we deal, since it's feelings about us, what can we do? How can we deal with this? And I want to put it this way. If you look at your outline, I had this right here. How to break the reactive cycle, I am fearful and wonderfully made. You are fearfully and we need to realize this. Your spouse, and again, it might be a sibling, it might be a parent, is fearfully and wonderfully made. Remember, it goes back to who's your enemy. I am married to a wonderful, fearfully made woman named Laura. 39 years come Friday. I wouldn't want to spend my life with anyone else. I want to end my life with her. You know, I wrestled with this. One of the pastors preached, and I wrestled with it. He said he wanted to outlive his wife. And that bothered me. Until he told me why he wanted to outlive his wife. Because he said, I want to take care of her to the day she passes. God has given me her, and I want to take care of her to the day. That made something to me. You know, because at first it's like, what, you want, you know, but wait a minute. Yeah. And when we see that in our spouse, does that make that controlling aspect a little better? When we see that they're handmade by God, see, I believe in God's word, and I believe as I look around and see the faces of everybody, that everybody is handmade by God. And that we read the book of Genesis, and it said, God breathed in the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul, and I believe everyone has the breath of God in them. I believe God has breathed into every individual the breath of life that's called a soul. And I believe everyone is that way. And we need to see our spouse that way. We need to see that person in the midst of that conflict, that they are a wonderful, fearfully handmade person of God. Look at what it says here. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. We need to step back in the midst of conflict, and see our spouse as something handmade by God. I like this next scripture. A man's greatest treasure is his wife. She is a gift from the Lord. I like that. Guys, I'm sorry. I couldn't find anything that said guys are a gift from God. I looked hard. You know, I really looked hard. And I looked in all sorts of translations, too. I don't know what God had in his mind. We were made first, so I'll take that one. Yeah. But we need to see that our spouse, maybe we need to say our husbands too, are wonderfully made by God. We need to see that. If you want to deal with conflict, you better start with this foundation. That spouse that you said I do to is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and that God gave them to you as a gift. I am a better person. Now, I want you to hear this. I'm a better person because I'm married to Laura. I am. Yeah. I would not be who I am. I'd be a very different individual if it was somebody else. See, God put us together. He knew this conflict was going to happen. He knows what's going to happen when I leave this place today. We're going to get in our car and we're going to drive to Klamath Falls. Just tell you what we're doing. We're going halfway up to see our grandson. We're going to go into Washington, but we're going to drive. And he knows in that six-hour ride, the conversation that's going to go on. And I'm praying it's going to be good now. You guys pray for me. Yeah. But see, God brought us together. And we need to see our spouse that way. See, a lot of times we get in that conflict. How do we see our spouse? They're the enemy. You're causing me all this trouble. If it wasn't for you, if you would just, anybody? Come on. We see them as the enemy. We need to step back. That spouse is wonderfully made by God and given to you as a gift to make you a better person, to make you who you are. And we need to see that and understand that. So here's what I want to ask. How do you unlock this? How do you make this work? I'm going to go real quick with some things here. How do you make this work? We're going to have conflict. It's going to happen. We're going to have trouble. We will fight. We will bicker. We will quarrel. We will have those bouts in our lives. So the only question is, will it be healthy or unhealthy? I wrote down a bunch of unhealthy things here, all right? I was going to put these here, but there's just too many of them, and you need to know. This is a partial list. I could go on and on. Unhealthy conflict, withdrawal, stonewall, escalate, belittle, blame, provoke, exaggerate, avoid, pessimism, complaining, criticizing, strikeout, judge, whine, bring up the past, apathy, negative body language, dump on, sulk, self-righteousness, nag, rationalize, tantrum, abusive words. Anybody? You ever have conflict like that? Yeah. That's the negative. That's what we need to avoid. Your wife, your husband is a handmaid of God, a gift from God, and you need to see that. And look at what it says here again. I'm going to read John 11:17. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. If you keep biting one another, you're going to eat one another. It's just going to happen. And we need to back up and we need to see that. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not talking about compromise. Listen to me here. I want to make sure I made this point. I made a big bold here for this. I'm not talking about compromising. You don't compromise in your marriage, okay? Compromise means somebody wins and somebody, I'll give this time, but you got to give next time, right? Compromise means I gave you this, now next time I get the choice. Compromise means nobody gets what they want and nobody's really happy. I gave a little, you gave a little, I mean, we'll just deal with it. Anybody ever solve problems that way? Quit it. Stop it. Don't compromise. It's not worth it. The other thing I can read about all the time is win-win. Win-win, win-win. We need win-win relationships. I want to tell you something. The Bible says real clearly, you get married, and man will leave his father and mother, and the two will what? Become one. How does one become win-win? One becomes win. All right? So don't look, well, you win, I win. Yeah, I'm going to give you a thing. Let me give you a little hint. If you win a battle in your marriage, you are a loser. All right? Because if their spouse doesn't win, you didn't win anything. You lost. You're a team. And so I put it this way. We're a team. It's a team. It's a team win that we want to have. And so here's the definition of how to make it work. Here's what you want in the midst of conflict. Bold letters. You see, I put this all in bold. A solution both feel great about. That's what you want. In the midst of your conflict, you want to come to a point, not a compromise, not win-win, but that we as a team have sat down as a husband and wife, as individuals, and we have settled that, you know what, this feels good to both of us. This feels good. This feels good. See, what feels, well, this feels great to both of us. That's what you want to have. That's what you want to work towards. It wants to get there, that you both feel good. So here's five steps real quick. I only got a few minutes left. Verbalize your mutual desire for a team win. Verbalize your mutual desire for a team. When you sit down in the midst of that, sit down and say, you know what? It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about us. And we want to have a solution that we both feel good about. You verbalize that. You tell them. Because see, that sets them free. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to defeat you. I can be open. I can open my heart. I can open my life. I'm free because you want what's best for me, and I want what's best for me, so we can work through this. Does that make sense? But you got to say it out loud. You know, well, she knows. No, she don't, guys. Yeah. Well, he knows. No, he don't. Remember last week I told you, nobody has ESP. We can't read minds. So I put it here, verbalize it out loud. We're in this together. We're going to work through this. We can make it through anything. I really want what's good for you, and I know you want what's good for me. And we're going to make this work some way, some shape, and we're going to work through it. Because see, here's the key. We both think we have the best answer, don't we? That's why we're fighting. Well, I know what we should do. Well, I know what we should do. You both had the best answer. At least that's what you think. And so say, you know, let's sit down and let's work through this. I want the best for you, and I know you want the best for me. So start right there. Step two, discover the win for each person. Now, I said don't go with win-win, but you got to discover the win. What is it? This is 80% of the conversation. What is it? Like I said, that conversation Laura and I had about the pictures on the wall, the majority of time was fit in, what is it that's going to make this work? How do we work through this? What is the situation? What are we going to do? How do we understand? What feelings are involved? What's happening in our lives? What aroused this? What's making this go on? And so we got to spend time talking about, what is it that I really want? You know, the thing is, it wasn't moving the pictures around. It wasn't, yeah, I want the pictures moved here and I want the pictures, you know, that wasn't the issue. What is it we really want? You know, we want newer, up-to-date pictures on the wall that I get input into. They're on my computer, though. You know? And so you gotta have that, what is it that they really want? And, you know, sometimes as you're going through that conversation, you'll find out it has nothing to do with what's going on right then. It's deeper than that. Step three. Oh, man, this one's hard. Seek the Lord's opinion. Seek the Lord's opinion. Let me give you a little hint here. If a husband and wife would kneel in the presence of God, that's pretty hard to break Satan. That's pretty hard for Satan to break up. Did you know that? That a husband and wife that pray together, a husband and wife that kneel before God together and spend time in God's presence together, that's pretty hard for Satan to get in there and drive a wedge between, isn't it? Any relationship. Seek God's opinion. You know, I'm going to give you guys a little hint. Gary has lots of good ideas. But sometimes they're not God's ideas. Anybody? Yeah. I think we need to do this. I think we should do this. I tell you, you know, my dream of retirement is going where? Going and working at Disneyland. But my commitment is this. I'm going to do whatever God says. You guys might have to see me die of a heart attack up here. Now, just so you guys know, make sure you understand. They say now, no mouth to mouth. You can just do compression. Okay, Dan? Just compression. Ron? Just compression. No mouth to mouth, okay? That's all I need. Yeah? I'm committed to what God's going to do. So I got to ask God's opinion, right? Well, we need to, in the midst of that conflict, take some time to pray. God, we're wrestling with this. What should we do? Should we go here? Should I do this? How should I do this? You know, you want to have a conversation? We're taking a trip. We're going to go see our son. We're coming back. We're going to be back. Then guess what? I'm going to go to Disneyland. Can't believe that. Laura's off work now. We're going to do everything in June, get it all over with, so I'll be here for July. Yeah. Be here for the fireworks booth, vacation Bible school. We're going to have a great time. So we're going to go to... Now, the question is, now, do we... We got a rental car because of our son-in-law. And it's only going to cost us like $50 to rent this car because it saves so much gas. It's a Prius. See, I'll put a plug in for Toyota. Yeah. So it's going to cost $50 to rent the car. Now, do I keep the car and drive to L.A. in the same car? Or do I come back, take that car back, and take my car down to L.A.? Laura wants to take the new car. I want to take my car. I'm in control. No, we're probably going to take the new Prius because I want to have a smooth, quiet ride. Yeah. But you see, you know what I'm saying? I have good ideas. I know what we should do. I know how to fix this. God, what do you want? Next thing, brainstorm different solutions. Yeah, you have one way figured out, and he has one way figured out, she has one way figured out, but there's got to be more than two solutions. Brainstorm. Now, when I say brainstorm, circle that word. Because brainstorm means you just list a bunch of ideas. You do not comment on them. You don't say, that's the stupidest thing I ever thought of. It's going to light up then, right? You know? But you just list everything. Whatever they say, you put down. Just make a list of everything. Don't criticize. Don't talk about it. When you brainstorm, you don't talk. You just say the idea. That's it. Then you get all these set down. And then if you get them all set down, you pick the solution that feels great to both of you. And you put it into action. Which is the best one? Now, honestly, my car has 107,000 miles on it. All right? I probably do need to take this other car down to L.A. Do I want to? No. Yeah. But what's the best solution? Not just because Laura picked it, but because it is the best. Because it doesn't matter who picks it, does it? Doesn't matter whose idea it was? If we both feel good about it? If we both feel it's the right decision, does it matter whose idea it was? But when you're a control person, it does matter. No, it doesn't. See, conflict can be positive. As you look at your relationship, sit back and say, what is pushing my button and why? What is it? I'm telling you, fear can push buttons. You know, rejection, disrespected, they don't understand. You know, that's usually what's going on inside. It's not that we're going here, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do this, or it's money, or it's in-laws, or it's something else that's inside. That's what the scripture says. So I challenge you. Take these five steps. Your spouse is not the enemy. Your spouse is a gift from God. Now, some of them can be a pain, all right? I'm going to admit that. You know, but they are a gift from God. And step back and see they're handmade. They're wonderful, amazing creatures of God. And they're special. And we need to see that. We need to hear that. And then on that, you know what? I love you and we're going to work this out. See, Laura and I made a commitment when we got married. I shared this with you and I'll share it all the time. Laura and I, we never used the D word, right? You guys know that. Never. Gentlemen, ladies. Never use the D word in your marriage, all right? Never. Not joking, not playing, not pretending. You never say the D word. My commitment is this to Laura. We're going to do whatever it takes to make this thing work. I do. We still do. 39 years later. You know. And on the way home, she was asking, remember the first time we talked about liking one another? Yeah, February 7th. Don't ask me what year. 3 years before we got married. Yeah, that was our conversation yesterday on the way home from Relay for Life. You know, and it was about, I think she said 2 weeks before that, that we found out we liked one another. Yeah, 40 some odd years now. I still do. We still do. We're going to fight for this. We're going to fight. I can pretty much guarantee there'll be some discussion over the next 2 weeks. It's just, it's Gary. You know? But you know what? We're committed to this. I'm committed. I'm sold out. I'm in. I am not bailing. I have no desire to go anywhere else. I'm going to finish. So I want to challenge you. There's going to be conflict. Will you make it healthy? You're going to have those hard conversations. You're going to have that time when you just don't even want to look at one another. Come on. You're going to have that time when you're just fed up. but you're committed. We'll get through this. We'll make it work. We'll survive. Look at what it says. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Don't let the devil tear your marriage apart. He's the one that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. He will use whatever tool he can. Money, sex, in-laws, leisure, whatever it is. I gave you seven of them. But it's what's inside that you got to battle. That's where the fight is. I want to challenge you. Make it healthy. There's 40-carat diamonds in the midst of that conflict. You can grow stronger together. You can be better together. You can do more together if you fight together. The battle's not with your spouse. It's with the devil who wants to destroy that marriage. I close with this scripture. Since God chose you to be the holy people, he loves. You must clothe yourself with tender mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowances for each other's faults. Does it include marriage? What do you guys think? And forgive one another who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. How many want a perfect harmony marriage? Anybody? Bind it together in love, grace, mercy, kindness, humility. There will be conflict, but you can make it healthy. You can make something good. You can find that 40-carat diamond in the midst of the heartache when you look for God's hand for the two of you. You're a team of one that God has blessed and drew together. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you for your scriptures and the encouragement they give us. And I thank you for the gift of marriage, Lord. Thank you for the spouses you've provided for us. For the gift of love and kindness and compassion we can share with one another. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you want me to pray for you. Maybe right now you're in the midst of conflict. And again, it might be in a marriage, it might be in a sibling relationship, it might be in a parent relationship, I don't know. But maybe you want me to pray for you. And that third point says, God, we want to seek your opinion. Maybe we want to help you seek God's opinion. Will you just shoot your hand up and I'll pray for you? Just shoot your hand up. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you've seen the hands that were lifted up. Satan is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, to steal the joy, kill the peace, and destroy these lives. Whether they're marriages or siblings or children, parent relationships, Lord, Satan is seeking to steal, kill, and destroy, Lord. So I lift these up to you. Lord, may it look like a desert. May it look like just rocks and turmoil, but let us find the 40-carat diamond. Let us find the love. Let us find the mercy. I ask you to let your hands rest upon them. Let your spirit stir their hearts. Let them look at one another as a team. Let them see themselves as part of what God is doing, that they will be a better person through these adventures, through these trials, that they will be different and better because of it. Encourage their hearts. Strengthen their mind. And let your amazing love flow forth from them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.